Listen to these words from the prophet Joel. Do not fear, O soil. Do not fear. O children of Zion, be glad. Know that I am in the midst of you. To God, lover, beloved, and love. Do not fear, O soil. I am in the midst of you. I do love the words from Matthew's gospel this morning. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. I probably should get them tattooed backward across my forehead so that every morning when I wake up and every night when I go to bed, when I look into the mirror, I read these words, do not be anxious, do not worry. Because there is so much to worry about, so much to be anxious about, so much to be afraid of. Just think of Jesus' own world. He was born under Roman occupation. We don't really know what that would be like. To find out just a glimpse of what that would be like, we would need to talk to someone who experienced German occupation in Paris during World War II, or English-occupied Zimbabwe, or colonial-occupied indigenous land here in our part of the world. Sometimes it's difficult for us to empathize with the experiences of the characters in the scripture. How could we understand what it's like to be a slave in Egypt, or a captive in Babylon, or a subject state, or a persecuted Christian in the Roman Empire? We have to use our imaginations. But even more importantly, we have to speak to people whose experiences overlap with the experiences of our spiritual ancestors, just to get a taste of the context from which the biblical witness of God's deliverance comes. When Jesus says, do not worry, do not be anxious, he is speaking to people in the land bridge crossed by many marauding armies, from the Egyptians to the ancient Hebrew peoples, to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians, to the Persians, to the Greeks, to the Romans. This small bridge of land that connects continents has been crossed over so many times, the scars are still visible to this day. The anxiety faced by the people of Jesus' day was founded upon this location of political unrest. Because what comes with political unrest? Well, famine does. Disease does. Home displacement does. A lack of access to goods and services like clothing, kitchen supplies, and all those other things we can be so grateful to God that we have access to. Do not worry about what you will eat in Jesus' day is not a matter of choice. Jesus is not saying, do not worry whether you will eat at McDonald's or Vanetti's. Jesus is not saying, stop being anxious about whether you should shop at Safeway or Save-On. Jesus is saying to desperate, hungry people not to be anxious that they won't be able to eat at all. Again, we need to listen to the stories of refugees leaving everything behind to bring their families across borders, or seniors living off pensions that barely cover their rent, because they understand the anxiety or worry that Jesus is alluding to here when he says, do not worry, do not be anxious about what food you will eat or what clothing you will wear. Do not fear, O soil, says the prophet, know that I am in the midst of you. The prophet Joel speaks to a people in a desperate need. They had just spent the spring planting their seeds. They had just spent the summer tending to their fields and watching their seeds turn to ears of grain to last the winter. And just when it seemed like it would be a bumper crop, when their winters were guaranteed and their families would be fed, an army shows up. A swarming army of locusts, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, they're called. A vast, innumerable army of insects marches down to their green fields and eats everything up, everything to the root. Their seeds of hope turned to life or death desperation. It's hard for us to understand this feeling. I was born in Saskatchewan, and my father ran a farm during one of the droughts of the 80s. He lost his farm to that drought. It was very hard on him and on my mother, and their, at the time, five kids. But even in that desperate situation, my father was able to lean on his education and find a job in the city of Calgary to make ends meet and feed, house, and clothe his family. Maybe my father and mother a taste of what our spiritual ancestors went through, but also imagine talking to people who lived through the potato famine in Ireland. Imagine listening to the experiences of those living in the drought and famine of East Africa in the 1990s. It is in this hopeless context that the voice of God can be heard through the prophet. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Do not fear. And I have only been talking about literal war and literal famine. What of the spiritual wars and famines that each and every one of our hearts experience from time to time? The spiritual famine that comes after having done everything right. You raised your kids in the church. You prayed. You helped your neighbors. You were kind and generous. But then that locust plague descended upon your heart and ate up all the good things that had been growing there. You got sick. You lost a job. A child died. A global pandemic locked you down and isolated you from community, family, church, neighbors, and you lost hope. You lost trust. You lost sight of God. It is in this context we also hear the voice of the prophet and the voice of Jesus saying, "Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Do not be afraid." Listen to how the prophet Joel speaks to those who are facing famine of food and hope. "Do not fear, O soil. Know that I am in the midst of you." Notice how the prophet speaks to the soil. "Do not fear, O soil." Soil is that Adama of the first creation from which life originated. Oh, dry, dusty, fruitless Adama, soil, do not worry, do not be anxious, do not fear. God has done great things and will do great things. From dust comes life. This is God's way, to turn Adama into Adam by God's very breath, to green again deserts, to bring back the nourishing rains so that new seeds can take root and new plants can grow. In desperate places, we can look to the earth and see how life always returns. When our heart feels like it's been paved over by the asphalt of our mistakes, our broken relationships, our suffering, and our shame, we bend down and look at the ground. Look at the cracks beginning to appear in the cement and see those bits of grass growing and the green sprouts not giving up. Look at the pictures of that ancient great stony edifice of Angkor Wat in Cambodia with the giant green trees taking root. When the locusts have come and eaten everything up in your heart and you're beginning to lose hope or faith, look down. Look at the soil. Remember that deserts shall grow green again, and water will quench the thirsty earth. When you are on the edge of hopelessness, consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor reap, yet I guarantee not even Solomon was robed in such glory as they were. Look at the soil, the green growth. This is a spiritual practice. And what does it mean to look for the greening around us in desperate times or times of hopelessness or spiritual famine? It means to start a conversation with a refugee family and listen to their experience and their story. It means to talk with someone going through a difficult time. Looking at the soil means learning how war-torn communities still practice friendship and community and hope. It means taking the time to feed your heart with the stories of the helpers of the world, the saints. In our spiritual deserts, our spiritual practice is to look for the new places of growth. They are there. We just need to awaken to see them, and in our awakening, to discover that God is in our midst. It was in a devastated grain field 3,000 years ago that a prophet turned to his mourning congregation and said, "Do not be afraid, God is with us." It is on a mountain in ancient Palestine, overlooked by Roman soldiers who in 50 years' time would invade Israel again, destroying its buildings and burning its crops, that we hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Do not worry, do not be anxious, do not fear." It is in a small town in the Fraser Valley, still partially shut down by COVID, that God has come to us and called us children of God and has given us food to eat, bread, the body of Christ. God knows you need to eat, physically and spiritually, so look to the ground. Watch new life grow again, and eat what God has laid out for you. Eat the food of community. Even if you have to wear masks, meet together. Even if it requires a vaccination shot, meet together, pray together, and sing, masks and all. Eat the food of rejoicing and community and begin to see your hearts grow green again. And know that God is in the midst of you, in the midst of all of this, to coax life once again. Through Jesus Christ, our friend and our helper. Amen.